Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. Today is Monday, 11th day of April, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 42 points on the session. S&P is up a point and something, point a quarter, we'll call it. Comp is down about 5. Up on the screen, you've got an hourly chart of the S&P E-mini. The ES, we are currently awaiting the arrival of some dynamic resistance. We had dynamic support on the open last night. If you recall, Friday, we were waiting all day to print some dynamic support. Never came. Came on the open last night. Way down at 13,2075. We never traded that low. Let's see, how low did we trade last night off the open? 13.24 was as low as we got. So what I want you to take from that is this. The price, look at that, look at the wick. See the wick? That's the first hour the market was open. That's a bearish doji. Bert, hey Bert, let me just see if Michael and Bert are with us yet.
I'm here.
Michael is here. How about Bert? Is Bert with us?
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Bert.
Mike.
Dwayne.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burton Schlichter, studios in Chicago. Mr. Michael Bork, studios in Boston. Hey, Bert, are you still short that trade?
I am. Actually, I sold another one at 13.20 quarter.
You rascal. Very good.
I'll just wait until it gets to your weekly trading zone.
You're going to hold it to 13.17?
Yeah, I might as well. If we can get under 24, then I'll start bringing the stops down.
Okay. All right. Well, a good trade and a good call. I mean, this just really stood out right here, guys. this great big one-hour candle. That's what we were looking at this morning. Now, we don't have dynamic resistance here on the hourly. But over here, on the 30-minute chart, we do. We printed it at 1330.5. Okay? And so what we're looking for on the 30-minute chart is dynamic support. Okay? Dynamic support on the 30-minute, dynamic resistance on the hourly. Now, for those of you who follow the Twitter feed, we had a trade that we put on last night during the Globex session. We tweeted that out to everybody on the list. We're up over 200 people following those tweets now, so if you haven't become a member of our Twitter family, then by all means do so. Just follow us at CFRN. It's that simple. Here's the trade. It was nothing extravagant, just kind of a simple little trade. And I'll show it to you right here. For those of you who are watching live, you can see it on the screen. For those of you listening after the fact via podcast, I'll try to describe it as best I can. When we sent the trade out, price was trading. It was Sunday night, so we were up around 12.354 when the trade went out, and the trade was to buy 12.335 on a limit. Okay, so for those of you who can see my screen, we triggered in right here. We touched 12.335 to the tick, and the market immediately ran up to 12.367. So that in and of itself was a pretty good trade from 35 to 67. Then we pulled back to 12.335 for a second chance entry for someone that might have missed that first one. We had a slight drawdown of about 7 points. Then it took off again, and this morning it ran all the way up to 12.383. At which point I sent out a follow-up message that said, consider locking in your profits up here, because you've gone from 35 to 83. That's about, let's see, 35, what is that? That's a 50-point trade. Only 5 points away from the target, which was 90. Okay. So when you get that close to your target, you've got a sizable trade going on. Always a good idea to try to lock something in, move your stop, whatever, however you manage your trade. And you need to know how you manage it. Now, here's what happened after we sent out that message. The market pulled back, found dynamic support right here at about 12.355, rallied up, hit the target. In fact, it traded 12.391. So it took out the target by one tick. And now here's where we are on the session. We're back down to 12.361. So a good trade. I think you can see that the whole concept was a zone-to-zone trade, but shaving 10 points off of it, which is equivalent to about a point on the ES, so that at 12.390, a very nice trade. And then move on to whatever's next. Now, this may not be over. It may not be done. It may not be finished. Let's go look at the 500. 500 says the next step would be a trip back to the 12.335. We couldn't get to the 400. We tried it this morning. Got a bullish cross. We broke above. We pulled back. We printed dynamic support. We made the run. Came up short. 9 ticks short of that next zone, which is less than 1 point on the ES dynamic resistance. Now, if we have a look over here, this is how everything shaped up on the 10K this morning. You can see this trend line that came across here. Okay. On this pullback entry here, I took a long entry right here at 27. On this pullback, I let it pull back here, and then on this up close, I got long. And I should have taken it off when I hit this trend line. Or I should say I could have taken it off. I chose not to take it off. Okay. I decided to see if it could work itself out here, and it couldn't. Not only did I have the trend line get in my way. See, when I have a good trade, I'll point that out, but when I have one that doesn't go the way I thought it was going to go, then I'll point that one out too. We hit the trend line there, and the cycle indicator stopped in mid-cycle and rolled over. Never a good sign. Never a good sign. So I had plenty of warning, plenty of opportunity, but you know what? It's just another trade. That's all it is. Everything unfolded as it should. There's the crossover, the pullback, right at a weekly zone. Now, Bert's on the right side of a zone-to-zone trade, it would appear at the moment. I was looking at 33. Okay. Now, did Bert and I both have the same cue to work with? This hourly candle, we did. The market was expressing a bit of bullishness here, and so we took that. Other than that, what else we got, Michael?
Bert, not too much.
Either
things,
one of you guys?
Things have pretty much gone sideways. Lost volume. It's really dying down here. So it's just a hold and watch right now.
Quite. I mean, of course, everyone knows by now that there was a... Was there actually another earthquake in Japan, or was it just more aftershocks?
It was an aftershock that measured 7.0. So it's a pretty huge aftershock.
Bob, I just saw your question. When you say what triggered the trade initially, are you talking about the overnight trade, the YM trade? Oh, I already answered it for you. Okay. All right. Very good. Hey, anyone else tuning in today that has any questions about anything? There's not a lot of small talk. Mike Reed might pop in. Today's Monday. He put out a video last night. It's on YouTube, youtube.com/TradeStalker. I haven't had a chance to see it. But he just talks kind of about some of his internals and what he's seeing, a little bit of a short-term picture and a long-term outlook. So check that out. If he comes on today to discuss it with us, I got an email from him that said he was going to try to drop in right at the beginning of the show. So let me just have a look and see if he's in here with us. Nope, he's not. Okay, so he may not make it today. Perhaps it'll be tomorrow or Wednesday. Ben was with us on Friday, I think it was, so I don't suspect he'll be in today. So, I guess, Bert, you got anything you want to add? Michael, anything you want to add?
No, not at this point.
Nothing. I wish I did have something, just nothing interesting, really. Nothing that's already been said, you know.
Yeah, we get this overlap from the live trading room to here. We've kind of talked ourselves out, and then we end up here, and we're like, oh, wow, we got to do it all over again. It would be much easier if it was back in the 80s, but it's not the 80s, and so we have to act like grown-ups now. Just, I did make a fresh pot of coffee, so hopefully we'll go, you know, here, let's do this. We have standing in the wings our good friend, Mr. David Williams, which, by the way, you know what, let's just do the deal. Here we go. All right, let's go to David. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some of you may not know.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good.
Was I interrupting you?
Well, you were, because I think some of the listeners may not know who you are.
All right.
So let me give you a proper introduction.
All right.
For the past 20 years, David Williams has pioneered a number of breakthrough market forecasting techniques that quite frankly put him in a league all his own. He's the real deal, and real traders know it. Market technicians are flat-out mystified by the accuracy of his mind-bending market calls. Did I say mind-bending? Check this out. On June 3rd, 2010, David forecasts, if the S&P doesn't touch 1111 on June 4th, it will immediately crash 64 points to 1047. This forecast was broadcast live in real time on CFRN to listeners in over 20 countries. Check the records. On June 4th, the S&P topped out at 1107.75 and immediately crashed 64 points to an exact session low of 1047 just one day later. Wow. David has made regular market calls just like this one day after day on CFRN for the past 5 years. Tune in Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern to CFRN.net and meet the man behind the forecast. www.cfrn.net, a community of believers who trade for a living.
David, wow. it appears that I was one day early, so hey guys, join me.
Is there such a thing as blushing on the radio?
There is.
Because that's what I'm doing right now. Well, thank you, Dwayne. That was amazing. I don't know what to say.
Your birthday present came a day early than the Beatles sang you happy birthday. I mean, that's a pretty good birthday. I don't know.
That is pretty good. That's very, very nice of you to do all of the above. And I'm 54 years old today, so I've made it to... another way of saying it was that I was born 54 years ago.
Plus or minus a day?
Plus or minus one unit of time.
Perfect.
Oh, that is funny. No, the spot for the ad spot, now that's, you know, that is over the top, and that is that's a lot of fun. That's very, it's almost funny, actually.
The bow kept falling off, so I just said the heck with it.
Oh, no, that's wonderful. I don't know what to say. That's all I can say. This is how I sound when I'm blushing on the radio.
Well, let's talk markets. You'll get over it.
I will. first of all, hope everybody had a great weekend. And good morning, Bert, as well.
Hey.
And I don't know if Michael Bork is there today, but good morning,
yes.
Michael, if he is. There you are.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Today is your birthday.
It really is. April 11th is my birthday. And I actually, it's funny because I think that leaked through to Dwayne because I had mentioned it to Bert. And so Bert is the secret. He's the man that told the secret. And I really, that's just a surprise. I didn't.
No,
it's not a surprise.
It was a forecast, so I reciprocated it. And I was just doing what I was told.
Okay, well, listen, 54 is a natural number, so
is it?
it's an important number in my in my ascension to marching towards the end.
Is there an important price contained in that date?
There are important prices. Actually, the important price was on Friday, as you recall. We mentioned that normally on April 8th, one trading day early off my birthday, the market would normally go down and do the 20, which was 1320. And that's the natural number for that date. It did actually go down and do 1320, it did 1318.50, and then this bounce that we have right now is a bounce off of the bottom that they made. So I don't have a natural number for the S&P in the same way today, but since it's all plus or minus 1 unit of time, it happened 1 unit early on the 8th, as I mentioned to you on the 8th. So anyway, it is kind of interesting because you could literally plot your own ups and downs, your own life, your something. You could probably chart it out in some way. I mean, like technical charting, like what we do. Put your indicators on there or do whatever kind of work you want to do and try to figure out where your next big turning point is in your life. Maybe that's a new form of... see, now that's an idea right there. The heck with astrology. We take a group of market technicians and we come up with a way of charting people's lives this way. And then we can make much more accurate market calls as to where they're going to be. Instead of price, instead of us forecasting where the price is going to be because the person isn't price, we can forecast his actual location. So we could say to him, we would have a, it would be geographical, we could say to him, well, Ted, on August 15th, you're going to be, 12 degrees north, however you do the degree thing, and you'll tell him exactly where he'll be on the degree chart on a particular day. And then as that day approaches, he'll be many miles from there, and he'll be saying, well, those guys were wrong, and then some he'll get a phone call or something, and he'll have to rush out to that area, and then he'll go, God, I can't believe it. I'm actually here at this, coordinate on the date that they forecast, just like Price does, That would be an interesting thing to do. I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but many, many years ago. Oh, go ahead. I'm going to tell you something else. But
No. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Okay. This is pretty freaky. I had an idea in the 90s that I wanted to see if it was true or not, and I found out, at least with the limited data that I had, this was the late 90s. The Internet was already around in the late 90s, and this is what the idea was. My idea was that because several relatives of mine had died over a period of time, not all on the same day, and I had noted that the dates of their death, including my stepfather, were dates that were important in the market. And so that started me thinking, and I decided to research and see if the following idea was true. I surmised that people die in clusters around market turning points. And I got death data off the internet, and I put it all together and found that for at least a 5-year period, that was demonstrably correct, that people tend to die in clusters around market turning points. So, by market turning point, we all know what we're talking about, a top
right.
or a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a really interesting observation that turned out to be, at least for the 5-year period that I went over it, it seemed to be very obviously true. Now, I don't know if you went back many, many more years, how true that would stay.
Well, how much of an anomaly was it? Was it, huge, indisputable, you can't deny this?
It was strong clusters.
I'm not getting out of bed on the next turning point kind of thing?
No, it was just that it was obvious. You could look at the chart, and I had to use a software program to put the data in that would display it this way. But it was pretty clear that you could see clusters around turning points. And this includes accidental deaths. This includes disease, all the types of death would occur that are reported by hospitals and one other agency. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway,
CDC.
To this day, I think it's probably true that part of the same forces that are at work in the market that cause turning points, which includes news and other factors, of course, technical and other factors, those forces are at play in people's lives as well. And apparently, when people are close to death or without even knowing it accidentally, they're going to be close to death, they get into a plane crash or whatever, it tends to occur in clusters around market turning points. Now, you could say to me, is that true for all markets? And I would have to say, I have no idea, but it was true for the S&P 500, and that's the market I tested it against.
Interesting.
Which would include turning points in the Dow as well. So it's a little macabre, to be talking about that, but it wouldn't. It it wouldn't have surprised me, and it doesn't surprise me, that these turning points are really much bigger than the market themselves. There's other forces at work that reflect themselves in the market, but they also reflect in other things as well.
Well, yeah, I can see where somebody would go, well, okay, great. So now what use is that information to you? And the information is what you just, the value is in what you just said, in that mm-hmm. it's not that you can prevent someone's death by having mm-hmm. this information, but simply that these dates are important not only in the market, but...
Right, but other factors as well. The stock market is one very visual way that these turning point dates are showing up, but it actually does show up in other areas as well. I wouldn't be surprised if it was true perhaps in animal deaths or other things as well, but human beings definitely for that five-year period definitely clustered around turning points. And in some cases, and this would have to take more investigation, if the turning point resulted in a larger move, in that case, there were larger numbers of people dying at the turning point. So I know it sounds bizarre.
What about births? Did you ever research birth records?
No, I didn't do the birth side of it. And by the way, this was a ton of work just to do this.
Right.
Just to figure this out and get the data and be able to put it together was a ton of work. This took like 6 months to do. Anyway, the whole idea came to me because several people in my family had died, and they'd all died on specific turning point dates. Every one of them was actually on the date of a market turn, and I was thinking, now that's got to be just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played with the idea and later found out that, indeed, if you look at a chart and the way that the software produced the dots around turning points, it certainly looks like there's clusters of people dying around market turning points. So you just have to take that and run with it and whatever you think of it. I think it just further proves that the stock market and other markets are reacting to even larger forces than simply technical and news, that there's something much bigger going on behind all of it. So
fascinating.
Now that I've... Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing. I would love to, if I had the time, and I really don't, if I had the time, I'd love to take the time and really do that over a 50-year period or something with as much data as we could get. And see if there's something really good. So, having said that, I think we can move on to something less interesting.
Okay. What do you got? What do you have in mind?
The markets.
No.
I don't have a lot today. First of all, the S&P is bouncing off of the 1320 level we talked about earlier, which was a natural number for the market on April 8th. On the downside, this bounce would normally do what it has already done today, which is to go up to 1330, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw further movement on the upside. It's not a forecast, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see that, and there may be a good trade that comes from this in a little bit on the long side if they confirm in a little bit here. So that's number one. And then Dwayne, do you have anything on the market today? I got into the show late. I wasn't sure if you had said anything.
Well, we had a nice trade, David, last night on the overnight session. We had messaged out to our followers on Twitter. I'm just determined to find something useful for that stupid thing. So that's what we're
the
doing.
Twitter? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because... anyway, price was about here when we sent it out, and it was a enter long at 12.335
mm-hmm.
with a stop at 12.315. So it was a 20-point mm-hmm. risk on the trade. It got triggered in here, mm-hmm. tested here, and the target was up here at 12.390.
Oh, that's real nice.
And so
that's
we
a
took
really
it
nice
out
little.
By, yeah. So let me just go ahead right now and say we're 3-for-3 on the overnight YM trades. So I'm just going to throw one out there tonight and just let it get ran over so we can
Just do what you normally do. Don't try to do anything special or try to prove that you can be wrong. What a strange thing. You're doing so well, you have to kind of prove to people you can be wrong. You know, I've got to show the people I can mess up.
I got to make it real.
Got to let them know. we've got to let the people know. Anyway, no, that's great. That's a nice little trade, and especially considering it's the overnight as well, which is a, you know, it's a different market.
It's really equivalent to 5.5 points in the ES, 55 points on the YM. So
that's really interesting. Not as interesting as the fact that people die in clusters around market turning points, but interesting. But interesting all the same.
Yeah, so that's really all I've got. I mean, on the hourly chart this morning, we had this huge doji that printed in the first hour. And then we've kind of just gone sideways around the 26, 27 weekly trading zone since then. I had a failed long trade on the upside because I got it in my head that on this little break right here that we were headed higher, but we got stopped at this trend line. And then everything just went to heck in a handcart.
Well,
and,
by being stopped out tells me that you use stops.
Yes,
which
sir.
Which means you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
Which is to use stops. So not everybody does that.
No, and I didn't always.
I can always tell the people that don't use stops. They always have less money than the people who do. There you are. It's an easy read. So, anyway... all right, let's continue on. So the S&P is a little quiet here, but we may have a long entry signal here forming here, you know, just for intraday, very small thing, nothing, no big forecast with it. But let me take a quick look with you at some of the other markets. Things are rallying so powerfully right now that there's not a lot right now that I'm doing with them. The bond market, we are very close under normal conditions to a bottom, but we're not issuing anything yet on that. So give me just a quick here, and then we go to the euro, which has been rallying as well, so we're waiting on that a little bit. There's possibly something coming up on the euro, though. That's a market that has had a pretty good run. We do have gold, which has continued to advance, as well as silver. And I don't know what the news is related to the continued advance, whether it's the same old story, which we've talked about before, which is the dollar... the weakness of the dollar and, you know, the whole possibility of the economic, you know, I love this, the economic meltdown. It's like, newsflash, it already happened, you know, but there's people out there that believe that there's a great deal more. They're betting on the second leg, and the second leg is a very difficult thing to bet on because quite often the market does all of its damage in leg number one, in the broad, big type of sense like this, these big, huge moves. You know, like the crash of 87 or the housing crash, where you, the whole crash is over, but then there's people who believe there's going to be a second leg down, that that first leg, you know, that was just the down payment on the second leg. And a lot of times that second leg doesn't happen. The market might retest the lows and, you know, do all the kinds of things that markets normally do that we see on the screen, all of us together. But a lot of people are betting on the second leg of the housing, which I'm not... you know, I'm probably not a buyer for that or a believer in that. And the second leg for the whole economy, with that we're going to go down and, you know, that was the first leg is over and now the whole economy is going to go down again. I'm really not thinking that's going to happen either. I'm not a forecaster for the economy or for housing. But just in general, having been in the, you know, been alive for that period of time, and I've seen so many people always calling for that second leg, like we talked about the other day about silver, where it's up 10 times its value, more than 10 times its value now, and people are looking at that and saying, no, it's you know, it's going to double. You know, well, it's already gone up 10 times in its normal value. If something's going to make it double from here, which is possible, it certainly isn't going to be the news that's currently in the market. That news, the news about the dollar and all that and the economic downturn and the possibility of a second leg and all that, that's in the market. That's already in the silver market. It's known. It's been digested. It's already moved prices as far as it's probably going to move it. Maybe it can move it a little bit more. But I would say that the moves that we're seeing now are from some other source, if not just simply the trend itself. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was news out that it's something different that got silver to move higher here and gold. So just another, I'm just commenting on that because I've got friends, like I've mentioned before, that are, you know, they're all over the internet. And, you know, I don't know where these people went to school, But I've got friends that have actually said to me, and those of you who are younger, or no, excuse me, those of you who are older, and by older I mean, you know, in your late 40s, maybe early 50s, you'll remember when you were in high school or junior high, and people used to go around saying, you know, your blood is really blue, and when you, you know, cut yourself, it turns red, because then oxygen, you know, hits it, and it turns red. But the reason, you know, you can see the blueness of it in your veins, it's blue running in your body.
I never heard
and
that
And then when
before.
You cut you. No, that's been around for a zillion years.
Hmm.
And, of course, your blood carries oxygen. So it doesn't need you to cut in order for it to hit oxygen. It's carrying the stuff. And so it's red all the time. Anyway, I have friends who just read that on the internet, and they... These are the people I hang out with. They believe this stuff. And that, along with a million other really, really old, you know, I'm waiting for the guy to come up to me and says, well, there's a guy that has the 50-mile-an-hour carburetor, and, you know, the oil companies bought it from him. You know, that old thing.
Right.
On and on and on. So I've got friends.
It happened on a plane, too. Somehow they took his design on a plane, and then, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard the story.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, it's great that they, and this was when I was in junior high school, he had the 50-mile-an-hour carburetor, and nowadays, the Toyota Prius, using very, very high-tech, you know, battery technology, switching in with small, you know, Atkins cycle engine technology, getting the drag coefficient of the car down to, you know, 27 on the CD, the drag coefficient, how efficiently it moves through the air, putting skinnier tires on it, they still can't quite get 50 miles an hour. But the guy that came up with the 50-mile-an-hour carburetor, everything's fuel-injected now, but this was a carburetor. You know what a carburetor is? It's like a toilet for gas. You just open it up, and it just sucks gas down in there. Anyway, and the guy's driving, of course, like a 66 Buick Oldsmobile, and he's getting 50 miles a gallon. That's what the oil companies bought from him to keep it off the market. We can't even do it today. We're barely able to do it today with all the high-tech, you know, direct fuel injection, skinny tires, lower drag coefficient, batteries, plus the small engine, we're just barely able to get to 50 miles a day. But that was one of those things that was around and is still on the internet today. That,
well,
you know,
big oil's not going to let that come to market.
Yeah, they're not going to let that 50-mile-an-hour carburetor get to market. Well, where's big oil now? How come they're not stopping all the electric cars and all the... I mean, you would certainly think if they want to stop a 50-mile-per-gallon carburetor, they sure as hell don't want cars running around that don't use their product at all.
Well,
like an electric car.
Yeah. The Leaf.
How come they haven't got those guys paid off and they're living in the island somewhere? And I want the conspiracy theorists to tell me, how come the oil companies are not doing that now? If they did the 50-mile-an-hour carburetor and that freaked them out, surely gas cars going away has to freak them out. You'd think they'd pay those people off and, you know, make the deal on the airplane or whatever, all that stuff, you know. It just goes on and on and on. I've got friends that everything they know, they learned off the internet in a, you know,
chat room.
Conspiracy theory chat room.
Hey, this Leaf, have you looked at the Leaf?
Yes, the Nissan Leaf.
Plug-in
electric.
It'll go like 70 miles and then you got to charge it for 8 hours?
Well, 8 hours if you don't have the 240-volt charger. If you have the 240, it can be done in 2.5 or something. I forgot what the number is, but
okay.
It's much lower. And but you
I
know,
mean, a road trip
right
would
now,
take a really long time. I guess that's
yes.
just for commuting and that type of thing.
That's why the Chevy Volt is a great answer, because, and I know this is not a show about the cars, but the Chevy Volt is running off of a battery that is being charged by the engine. The engine, only in one condition does the engine ever directly connect with the driven wheels. But the battery is connected to the engine, and it's the battery that's constantly providing power to the electric motors. The Prius is switching back and forth between battery driving the wheels and the motor actually driving the wheels. The Volt does it differently, where the battery is always the thing that drives the driven wheels, except in one circumstance, and the motor is just there to charge the battery, which is a cleaner thing. So you don't have any of that range anxiety, where you're thinking, well, you know, I'm running out of range here. I better pull over and charge up or whatever. I kind of like the hybrid idea for a really usable car that you can take on long trips, et cetera, at least for the time being, until they get better battery technology and all that. So as we're talking here, the S&P has broken down a little bit more, and in reflected wave, this does now, the fact that they've done this would indicate lower prices and a potential trade on the short side and a bottom in a little bit here that would be tradable. So I know we're talking about other things in markets, but let me finish up with a quick look around. Yeah, so really I was just doing that a minute ago. With regard to the markets, these other markets, we don't have anything right now. We probably will a little bit later this week. And I didn't get a chance this weekend to update to new markets like cocoa or coffee and a few of these others that I am interested in putting into the group so that we can get other trades when these other, when the metals are running and the crude is running, there's something else that we can trade off of. I think right now for today, really that's about it. There's some decent opportunities today in the S&P. We had a trade earlier today on the short side based on the market, the open, where they got up and tested the 1330 level, and we shorted. Or did we buy? I can't remember what we did, but we had a nice trade off of that. And it was a buy limit at 1326 for the run up to 1330. That's what it was. So early in the day, we bought the market because they had indicated for, you know, at least in our work, that they would go higher and test 30. So anyway, I think for today, the only thing we really have going is the S&P, and we'll just have to
You're still looking to be potentially long
in the S&P? Well, right now I'd like to place a sell limit and sell short at a particular number.
Okay.
But after the decline continues here, if it stays reasonable, I would definitely want to allow it to trigger us into a long trade for a little later today. That's why I'm saying it's swinging a little bit better for intraday, for when I'm on your radio program, Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a move you would normally see. It gets very quiet when usually I'm on the radio program,
right?
Because all the traders on the floor are listening to the
exactly.
program. But today they're not, and they're the fact that they're running them right now tells me right away this is actually going to be a pretty good trading day, because this is the kind of volatility that we used to have, where instead of them going to sleep, you know, for the next 2 hours, they're awake right now and they're trading. So I like this. So there you go. That's about everything I have for today, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles today. But I did reach my natural target today of 54, natural number, and I do like the idea of putting a chart together that would predict, like we're predicting prices, the location of people on particular dates, where they would be. I think that's a pretty interesting idea. So that the person is like price, except the scale that he's moving on is the horizontal and vertical coordinates. And, you know, on a certain date and a certain time, you could say, well, you're going to be here at this date. You know, this is your natural place to be on such and such a date. And see if the person shows up there.
Let us know how that works
out. Shut up.
Let us know how that works out, okay?
I will. You might be surprised. It might actually work, Dwayne. You know, everybody just walks around just so sure they have complete free will. I'm not so sure they have complete free will. You might be free to think what you want, and I'm not even sure about that. But I'm not so sure that you're as free as you think you are with regard to being where you want to be, because events and many, many other things conspire to both place you somewhere and to make you want to be somewhere. All kinds of things all kinds of other forces are at work on you, Mr. and Mrs. Free Will, Mr. and Mrs. I have complete free will to do whatever I want. There's all kinds of forces working on you, not only external forces, manifested forces, but also internal forces, which are also manifested forces, that are working on your thinking and emotions as well. So I'm not 100% sure that we don't have free will, and that I know it sure feels like we do, but you know, I'm not 100% sure that we do have the kind of free will that people might think that they have.
Well, that's a tall discussion. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I could get in my car right now and drive to the grocery store or to Las Vegas, Nevada. And mm-hmm. the only thing there's a lot of things stopping me. Good reason, sound judgment, no planning. I mean, mm-hmm. but There's nothing to physically restrain
the difference between thinking
me.
About doing it and actually doing it
are
right. vastly different conditions.
Right.
I mean, it's a tall discussion. We don't have to get into it right now, but there's a couple of things I could say about that as well. One of them that you might want to think about, and this sounds very anti-intuitive, but you really, here's the idea, and this is one of my premises, is that you don't know why and what you're going to do until after you do it. And almost everybody would say, no, I know what I'm going to do before I do it. But if you track it back and think about it, don't jump to any conclusions right now and say, well, that's just ridiculous. Think about it a little bit and see if you can see where that might be a possibility, that it looks like you have the ability to say, I'm going to do this and I did it, but in fact you do it, and then later you can explain a reason for it and say why you did it. But the doing itself happens by itself, and then you come in later and fill in the blanks. And it's not an easy one to think through, because our natural tendency is to say, well, no, I do whatever the heck I want to do. I get up and I walk over here. I get up and I walk over there. You know, I do this, I do that. But I have a feeling things are a lot different down deeper than they just look on the surface. And we have evidence of that. We do have some evidence, not only in the markets and in some other ways, that things aren't quite as free as they may appear. So it's almost like saying a drop of water in the ocean has its own individuality, it has its own little bacteria account, it has all this other stuff, but it's subject to the ocean. It's subject to the waves in the ocean. It may move around and say, see, I'm over here and see, I'm over there, but it's actually subject to the waves in the motion and subject to the lack of waves as well. Well, I'm just hanging out over here right now. See, no problem. I can just hang out here. That's when there's no wave. But when the wave comes, now you're over there. Well, yeah, I wanted to go over here. That's where I wanted to go. Well, you know, see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it looks, it's individual on a very micro level, but its movement is actually driven by the macro. It's actually, there's forces at work that move it around, even though it has its own individuality. So anyway, something to think about. That's all. I'm not saying that's how it is. It's just one of the ideas that you can think about sometime if you want to. And if you don't want to, you can just get a can of beer and sit back and enjoy whatever
So what you're saying is people can think about it or not think about it, whichever they choose?
That's what they can do. If they want to, they can apparently think about it or not think about it. That's what my thing is.
Okay.
You can apparently decide to get a beer and sit down. But you really only know after the fact that you were going to do that, and then you come up with reasons that you did it. It's an illusion that you're actually the doer. That's what I'm saying. It feels like you're the doer, but everything is really happening, and you are filling in the blanks with your own, I did this, and I did that, and I want this, and I want that, etc. Remember, the happenings we're talking about are also internal. The things that drive you internally that make you your motivations and everything else all happen along with external events. They're not separate in this analogy. The external, what you call external out there, the cars, the people, the mountains, the markets, everything else, that's one level, but you also have a bunch of forces working inside of you as well. And those are part of the external world, and they are working as well, and you are under those forces as well. So you're under a lot of forces, is one way of putting it. You know, there's a lot of different things at work in you and on you. And so all I'm saying is that with all those forces on you and in you working, the idea that you have complete free will to do whatever you want seems a little bit of a stretch to me. And it's just an idea for people to play with. That's all. I still want everybody to love me, even if I have weird ideas. But just play with the idea.
All right, David.
Okay?
We'll do
all right,
it, buddy.
We won't be having him on the show anymore. Gosh, just next.
Thanks so much. I hope you have a wonderfully happy, spectacular birthday.
Because of you guys, I did. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the happy birthdays, and we'll talk again tomorrow. And remember, Dwayne, I come on this show to freak people out. I didn't come here to straight talk people. That's part of my gig.
Did you come here today of your own free will?
I came to this day because hidden forces at work in my life forced me to, but I thought I came here of my own free will. But unfortunately, I'm tied to your destiny in some way that I don't know about.
Oh, that's good. Unescapable. All right. Thanks,
it's
David.
The unescapable Dwayne Reeves destiny pulls. So, all right, you guys. Thank you very much.
Happy
Dwayne,
birthday,
we'll have more
man.
About markets. Right. Thank you very much, and we'll have more tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Okay, see ya. By the way, that was a great choice of songs. Free Bird.
Yeah, that was Bird.
Really
yeah.
Good.
Probably one of the greatest rock ballads ever, if that's your interpretation of a ballad. Rock song from our youth. Bert, I think we went to the same high school together at different times. Okay, let's see, is there a hand up in the audience? Was that just a comment? Reisert, if you have a question, just type it in. I see your hand, but just feel free to type a question into the box if you have one. All right, anybody else got anything? We're going to do it, wrap it up. We're going to close early today in honor of David Williams' birthday. Anybody got anything? Michael, you still with us? Bert, you still with us? All right, I guess I blew them all out with my rock and roll. Well, Michael usually at least says goodbye. Michael. Okay, I guess Michael's gone and Bert's on the phone, and that just leaves us. All right, I've drawn an arrow here on the chart. We talked about this in the live trading room this morning. And the arrow would be pointing at 13.2075. Okay, this is the hourly chart. This is dynamic support. Friday, all the way down, we were looking for some dynamic support. We never got it. On the open last night, when Globex opened last night, on the very first candle, we got our dynamic support, which was a little bit puzzling because price was way up here. Support's way down here. Now, the next step is to print dynamic resistance. Let me just resistance, support. See how that works? But this makes a lot of sense. We had this print how many hours ago? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 hours ago? Is that even possible? Yeah. These are hourly candles. Now price is going to come down, and it's going to test dynamic support. Does it ever trade through it or spike through it? Yeah, look right here. Here's an example. Friday of it spiking, dynamic resistance to hit the weekly trading zone, to reverse, and then just fall off a cliff. See that? Yeah. Over here, we spike just a little bit, dynamic support. Over here, we spike dynamic resistance. So is there the potential to spike this once it hits it? Yeah. But here's what I see as being different. Look at where we were when it printed. I would watch this very carefully here. This 1320.75 area, whatever tool it is you have in your toolbox or hanging off your tool belt. Let me answer a question. Okay, Dave, I just sent you an answer to your question. Jim asked, can Michael explain his ES short at approximately 11:50? You know, Jim, I'm not sure. The live trading room ended at 11:30. If Michael put on a trade at 11:50, I wasn't here. Oh, you are there.
I am here.
I was sitting here telling everybody my feelings are kind of hurt. You usually at least say goodbye.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I always say goodbye to you. Unless there's a crisis, then I wouldn't say goodbye, of course. But I'd usually type something in.
Yeah, you do.
Let you know I'm going. No, I thought I was actually talking there. an 11:50 short. I haven't gone short on the ES yet.
While
today.
David was talking, he drew a short arrow on the ES chart. Well, I've got the charts, Jim, so that would have been me that drew the arrow. Trying to figure out, was it this arrow that I drew? Is that the one you're referring to? $10.20 on that chart. Okay. Right here, price hit this trend line. Okay. Let me scroll this over a little bit so you can see it. All I was doing is I was connecting the two tops right here. This high. With this high, I was just connecting those two tops, creating a trend line. And then when price rallied off of the BBC and the weekly trading zone at 27, I took that trade long. And when it hit this trend line, I should have taken an exit. And then when it printed dynamic resistance, I should have taken an exit. And when the cycle did not complete, but stopped, rolled over, and turned red, I really should have exited the trade. In other words, instead of letting it hit my hard stop, I had three different things that tell me, because see how it stopped here and reversed? It didn't like push, it didn't fight, it just... See, when it flopped here, I could have gracefully exited with like a tick, maybe two ticks. But, you know, I had a hard stop in, 2-point stop, so not an issue. So did I have to let it hit my hard stop? No. Could I have turned right around and shorted this move here? I could have, but I didn't. This would have been actually the trade that I would like to have taken short is right here. But it never quite pulled all the way back up. If you were rounding down on a market if touched order, there's a chance you might have gotten filled there. So, does that answer your question, Jim? Okay. All right, good. Yeah, Michael, I understand you've got to leave, and I'm going to leave too, because there's not much else to go over, other than I would suggest, and I'll leave this chart up and running, I suggest you watch this area here that printed on the open last night, okay, on the hourly chart. Here, we just hit it right there.
We are going zone to zone here.
Okay. Now, could this spike down and do the zone to zone? It could. But if you've got something that potentially can get you long going back up, this may be as far as we go. You could look left. There's Friday's low right there, 13, 18 and change. Then you got the weekly zone here. So a lot of variables, but I would not ignore this on the hourly chart, because this has been cooking for a long time, okay? With no resistance overhead, just the support. Okay, I'm just going to tell the world, Bert exited part of his position right there at that support level.
Nice. Nice trade, Bert. That was from 28 up there, 27, 28. I think he said he put one on at 27 and another one on at 28.5, something like that, right?
Way to go, Bert. The cycle is, Wayne just asked what the cycle looks like. I don't run a cycle on the hourly. Wayne, I run that here on the 10,000 contract, and you can see where it is, right here. It's in a position to turn up, but it can also remain down in this area for quite a while. I don't have one running on the 30 either. All right. Anything else you want to add, Michael? Anybody else got any other questions?
I am good.
I like to keep this chart really kind of clean, other than the dynamic support and resistance, but just to see what it looks like. For the moment, we'll toss this on here. We'll throw a cycle under the 1 hour. Just see what it looks like. Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Try it again. Oh, create new area. There we go. Okay, that's what it looks like on the hourly, Wayne. Again, kind of same thing. In a position to turn up, but no signs of turning up yet. And you can see that on this big drop back on Friday, that's when it turned red. It's been red and headed down ever since. And the previous color change was here. And then again, here. So here we drop, and we head back up, and this was the earthquake. So trading through that, I mean, that just kind of throws everything off. But here you can see that the cycle did, in fact, track this pretty well. And then it shifted hands up at the high, and it's tracked it down. And we can see here that we've bounced a point off of this dynamic support already. Now again, this could be where it actually makes its turn, or it can spike lower, any number of things. Just be aware of it. That's all. There's nothing more I can say than that, than just, you know, be aware it is a factor. Because I've spent a lot of time on this last week pointing it out, going all the way back to Monday. Here's last Sunday night. Not last night, but Sunday night a week ago. support to resistance to support to resistance to support to resistance to support to resistance to support. I think you get the idea. To resistance to support to resistance to support. Okay? And now, remember, once this holds, we're looking for resistance somewhere. It could come up here. It could come here. You won't know until it prints. All right, Michael, I'm going to go too. You take care. Good luck with the new phone. If you need any help figuring it out, I know a thing or two about a thing or two when it comes to the iPhone, so I'm sure you're more than capable of figuring it out, because I figured mine out when I got it. And it's part of the fun is exploring it, the things it can do, and just, you know, just, yeah. So you'll have fun. And go to the App Store. There's a kajillion free apps. Always think twice before you pay for an app, because there's a good chance somebody out there has created a free version that works almost as well. And everything inside of the App Store has been pre-tested, so they don't just let anything in there, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why our app, even though our app is available and you can install it right now, before it's officially available in the App Store itself, it has to go through a approval process, which takes like 2 to 3 weeks. So, but when you get it to, if you don't have that URL, I will just let me know and I'll text you the URL, and then you can just tap that on your phone and it'll take you right to the page where you install it.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds great, Dwayne.
All right, guys. To each and every one of you, thanks so very much for tuning in today. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.